We are reading the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose, in the writings of Baal HaSulam. We've reached the heading, The Essence of Religion is to develop in us the sense of recognition of evil. Again, the essence of religion is to develop in us the sense of recognition of evil. Our sages say, why should the Creator mind whether one slays at the throat or at the back of the neck? After all, the mitzvot, commandments, were only given to cleanse people. That cleansing has been Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. But here I would like to clarify the essence of that development which is attained through engagement in Torah and mitzvot. Bear in mind that it is the recognition of the evil within us, that engagement in mitzvot can slowly and gradually purify those who delve in them. And the scale but by which we measure the degrees of cleansing is the measure of the recognition of the evil within us. Man is naturally ready to repel and root out any evil from within him. In this, all people are the same. But the difference between one person and the next is only in the recognition of evil. One, a more developed person recognizes in himself a greater measure of evil, and hence repels and separates the evil from within to a greater extent. Two, the undeveloped senses in himself only a small amount of evil and will therefore repel only a small amount of evil. As a result, he leaves all his filth within, for he does not recognize it as filth. To avoid tiring the reader, we will clarify the general meaning of good and bad, as it has been explained in the article Matan Torah. Evil, in general, is nothing more than self-love, called egoism, since it is opposite in form from the Creator, who has no will to receive for himself, but only to bestow. We have explained in Matan Torah that one, pleasure and sublimity are measured by the extent of equivalence of form with the Maker. Two, suffering and intolerance are measured by the extent of disparity of form from the Maker. Thus, egoism is loathsome and it pains us as its form is opposite from the Maker. But this loathing is not divided equally among us. Rather, it is given in varying measures. The crass, undeveloped person does not recognize egoism as bad at all. Therefore, he uses it openly, without any shame or restraint, stealing and murdering in broad daylight wherever he can. The somewhat more developed senses some measure of egoism as bad and are at least ashamed to use it in public, stealing and killing openly. But in secret, they still commit but are careful that no one will see them. The even more developed sense egoism as so loathsome that they cannot tolerate it in them and reject it completely, as much as they detect of it, since they cannot and do not want to enjoy the labor of others. Then begin to emerge in them sparks of love of others called altruism, which is the general attribute of goodness. But that too evolves gradually. First develops love and a desire to bestow upon one's family and kin, as in the verse, do not ignore your own flesh. When one develops further, one's attribute of bestowal expands to all the people around him, being one's townspeople or one's nation. And so one adds until he finally develops love for the whole of humanity.
No.
Well, he explains to us many things here. H10.
כן, תודה רב. מה זה נקרא אדם מפותח יותר?
What does it mean, a more developed person?
Developed probably refers to emotionally developed, meaning that he can better distinguish between good and bad. So, for him, the sense of good and the sense of bad are sharper. All right?
It's got a more complex ego?
It's like sharpening the senses. That perhaps I feel, you know, I feel very subtle difference of how much salt in something. And you don't, because you're not that sensitive to it. But you're sensitive to something else. So some people are very sensitive, that's what he writes, very sensitive to the ego, to their ego or someone else's ego. That's the question. That's a question. Right? When I look at others, I immediately sense how they use their ego in various directions. How much their ego really governs them, turns them around. And with myself, I don't feel that. So there's different levels of ego, yeah.
So more developed means more sensitive to the other?
It's not a correct definition, more sensitive to others. Sensitive to others in what sense?
That he manages to understand his motives, why he's doing what he's doing.
More developed means that he better distinguishes in each and every action, both inside of him and around him, that all these actions come from within the ego. His ego, others' egos. In short, that all of nature is egoistic, and it shows itself to us from within. PT 35.
He says that in order to be in bestowal, he gives me two conditions. One, that I have to be in equivalence of form to the Maker, and then the measure of the disparity of form. What does it mean, disparity of form? Doesn't it depend, one depend on the other?
Disparity of form is disparity of form. What can I say here? There's a difference.
He gives it as two conditions, but I feel like the disparity of form is according to how much I want to be in equivalence of form.
True. That this is how you measure disparity of form, from having the sensation of the equivalence of form, yes. PT19.
Morning. He says, know that the recognition of evil in him, that working in the commandments will refine you. What do you mean through the commandments I can get to know the evil in me?
Mitzvot means that you're trying to be good towards others. Love their friend as thyself. That's the primary commandment that includes all corrections inside of it. So the more you increase love thy friend as thyself, by that you become purer, more refined, more sensitive to various forms of bestowal, and thus you also begin to distinguish these things in other people or in generally in the world. And then you come to what's called recognition of evil, that you better and better understand, recognize your ego, your own evil.
What is the essence of the action in the ten?
Connection.
Can I see I can succeed? This is recognition of evil?
Yes. If you connect with the friends, then together you will begin to reveal the upper force and work with it practically until the final correction.
Let me get it. In the 10, I try to see how the friend is nice and good and play cutesy, and it's not... The friend is good and the 10 is nice. What is the work here?
Try to relate this way to each other.
So how do I recognize the evil through that?
Don't worry. The evil will show itself. The bad will unfold. You don't need to worry about that. You just need to be drawn to the good. To the good, complete, whole connection between everyone, so that they're like a circle.
And then the evil will be revealed between us?
The evil will certainly appear as you connect stronger and stronger, to the point that the Creator becomes revealed. You have to pressure yourselves so much so that you can to connect to each other, so that you feel within how the Creator is concealed and gradually becomes revealed.
Meaning, until I find the evil between us, we can't advance.
No, you aren't advancing towards revelation of the Creator, which is our goal.
Can I ask?
Yes.
If I see that a friend or the ten has something against me, how do I scrutinize if this is something corporeal or spiritual, and how do I resolve it?
Tell everybody quietly, don't voice it out loud. Tell yourself that whatever is revealed towards you comes from the Creator, and you are telling him thank you very much, that in such a way he is showing you their friend's relation towards you, and by that you can come closer to him. Because nothing is revealed to a person that doesn't help him advance towards an encounter with the Creator.
I got it.
Tel Aviv 3.
What's the difference between my ego and the friend's ego? Isn't it the same?
There's thousands of differences between you and him. Because each one, as Baal HaSulam writes, there are no two hairs that come out of the same hole. What do you want? So you're not similar. You're in your ego, he's in his ego. But you have to connect between you above that information or data that each one has and connect together towards the Creator.
I'm asking because it's hard for me to recognize my own ego, but I always see the friend's ego all the time.
What do you mean, the friends? I can't hear what you're saying. Can you open your mouth?
I'm saying it's easier for me to recognize the ego on the friends, but not on my own, on myself. I'm asking if I can take the ego as something absolute that belongs to everyone, and that's it.
No. You have to see how you relate to a friend. Check it, scrutinize it, sort it out, and then correct it. And if not, so pray to the Creator to help you see it.
And how to correctly relate to the friend's ego? As I recognize the ego in the friend.
That's nice. That's called that the Creator is showing you your ego.
So it's mine.
Correct. Even though you're calling it the friend's ego, he who flaws does it in his own flaws.
Okay, so it's mine. Thank you.
Okay. No more questions here, right, Niv? So, you kind of finished reading this and there's no questions. There's a lot of things in this. Well, let's keep going. Afterwards, we'll be able to, if we need, we'll go back to it.
Conscious development and unconscious development. Bear in mind that two forces serve to push us up the rungs of the aforementioned ladder until we reach its head in the sky, which is the purposeful point of equivalence of form with our Maker. The difference between these two forces is that the first pushes us involuntarily, meaning not of our own choice. This force pushes us from behind, and it is called from behind. And we defined it as the path of pain, or the way of the earth. And from that path stems the philosophy of morality called ethics, which is based on empirical knowledge through examination of the practical reason. The essence of that teaching is but a summary of the evident damages that result from the nucleons of egoism. And these experiences come to us by chance, not as a result of our conscious choice, but they are certain to lead us to their goal, for the image of evil grows ever clearer in our senses.
Because we discover these things in our eyes and our hands.
And to the extent that we recognize its damages, to that extent we remove ourselves from it and climb to a higher rung on the ladder. And the second force pushes us voluntarily, meaning of our own choice. And that force pulls us from before, and is called from before. And this is what we defined as the path of Torah and Mitzvot. For engaging in Mitzvot and the work to bring contentment to our Maker rapidly develops in us that sense of recognition of evil, as we have shown in Matan Torah. And here we benefit twice. One, we do not have to wait for life's ordeals to push us from behind, whose measure of goading is measured only by the amount of agony and destruction inflicted upon us by finding the evil within us. Rather, as we work for the Creator, that recognition develops in us without any prior suffering or ruin. On the contrary, through the subtle pleasantness we feel when working solely for Him, to bring him contentment. There develops within us a relative recognition of the lowliness of these sparks of self-love, that they are obstacles on our way to receiving that subtle taste of bestowal upon the Creator. Thus, the gradual sense of recognition of evil evolves in us through times of delight and great tranquility, through reception of the good while serving the Creator, out of our sensation of the pleasantness and gentleness that reach us due to the equivalence of form with our Maker. Two, we save time, for he operates according to our own volition, thus enabling us to increase our work and hasten time as we please.
No questions? Interesting. PT19. Yes.
So, again, he says, we benefit twice. We don't have to wait for life's ordeals to push us from behind, whose measure of goading is measured only by the amount of agony and destruction. That's what's happening around the world. So how do we expect that they will change? He goes then to item two, that what you do want to reveal the Creator, but nobody knows. The world doesn't know. Feeling,
why can't you speak clearly and stop disregarding? I hear
no,
you
not disregarding.
Say sentences clearly.
It says, Baal Sulam, we do not have to wait for life's ordeals to push us from behind, whose measure of goading is measured only by the amount of agony and destruction. I'm saying the whole world feels it, the destruction. So, I mean, barely feels it. So, the whole world, other than Nebuch, how can we expect them to learn Kabbalah and then advance without destruction?
We're not actually talking about the whole world. They also have degrees of still vegetative animate in speaking, and it's in each and every one. And I can't, what do you think? That Gemar Tikkun, the end of correction, is that everybody reaches the peak, the highest point, everybody together?
So what is the end of correction?
That's when all of humanity will reach a state that they will all know me from the small to the big, and my house will be the house of prayer to all nations. That means that they will reach it, but each one according to his degree.
But he says that through the work for the Creator, the recognition develops in us without any prior suffering or ruin.
Yes, if we acknowledge that our problem is our ego, and that we can correct it only with the help of the upper light, then we have only one issue, how to draw the upper light to work on us.
So that's what I'm asking. It says, and they will know me from the littlest to the greatest. How will the whole world know him from the littlest to the greatest? That's the end of correction.
So you're asking for the whole world.
That's what I asked in the beginning.
I don't know. I haven't gone through it yet. I have no records about that. I can't tell you.
What is the logic here?
The whole world, don't butt in.
I didn't.
I don't know, because there's no wise as the experience, and I have no experience in that. But according to what he writes, the Creator will be revealed to all the world, meaning all created beings, each one to the extent of his placement in the system of Adam Rishon. He will gradually receive revelation of the Creator and then be drawn in connection to the others more and more in order to assemble the system of all the souls of Adam Rishon, that one soul. And according to that, the Creator will be revealed in that one soul. These things are clear. The way it all happened to each and every individual, that I can't say, because there's no wise as the experience.
And you see that it can happen around the world, according to what's written here?
Why not? Who are humans? They're just little desires to receive that are eating away, how do I say it? Crawling all over the earth. And obviously if the upper light will work on them, they'll start jumping and running and doing everything that the upper light will obligate them to do. To obligate a creature that is entirely made of the desire to enjoy, that's very easy. Wherever you show it a bit of pleasure, he runs and exists there and does everything you want.
So that's what he writes. Only through the destruction and the ruin we can advance.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, that's how it's going to be. There's no problem in that. You see how now the whole world is running from one place to the other in every direction, each and every one, just like in like little flies or ants.
Happening today, there's no food, the economy is down, the stock market.
Don't cry. Yeah, I don't like that.
Where will the salvation come from?
The salvation will come when we want it to come. For now, we don't want it.
Okay, so we don't want it yet.
Moscow 6.
Я извиняюсь, Раб, а можно последнее предложение из этой статьи прочитать? Просто вопрос ушел.
I would love to read the last article here, the last sentence here.
It
says, all depends on us. I don't remember exactly.
Where do we read that?
It says, we have time, for he operates according to our own volition, thus enabling us to increase our work and hasten time as we please.
So what's the problem? Obviously, either the Creator bestows on us, influences us, and we'll run and do what we need to, or we ourselves, gradually, without His pressure, but as much as we can come close to Him according to our efforts, we'll get an addition of the upper light every time and perform what we need to do. Either way, you will reach Gemar Tikkun, the end of corrections, but you just have an opportunity to speed it up or walk the path of suffering, that there is such a state in that path that God forbid to go in that path. That's not worth it. That's why Kabbalists are writing what they do. That the path of Torah, the path of the light, the good path, the path of correction is good in the eyes of man and in the eyes of the Creator. Yes, Niv, next.
Religion is not for the sake of people, but for the sake of the worker.
Yes.
Many are mistaken and compare Holy Torah to ethics. But this has come to them because they have never tasted religion in their lives. And I call upon them, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Meaning, no, bad for bad on you, don't do that. That's the ethics.
It is true that ethics and religion both aim at the same thing, which is to raise men above the filth of the narrow self-love and bring him to the apex of love of others. But still, they are as far from the other, one from the other, as the distance between the thought of creation and the thought of people. For religion extends from the thoughts of the Creator, and ethics come from thoughts of flesh and blood, and from their life's experiences. Hence, there is an evident difference between them, both in practical aspects and in the final aim. One, for the recognition of good and evil that develops in us through ethics as we use it is relative to the success of the society. Two, with religion, however, the recognition of good and evil that develops in us as we use it is relative to the Creator alone, meaning from the disparity of form from the Maker to equivalence of form with Him, which is called adhesion, as clarified in Matan Torah.
Meaning, it's very different. Either we have an attitude towards society, people, and so on, or we have an attitude towards our source, the Creator. That's the difference. Yeah?
They're also completely removed from one another regarding the goal. One, the goal of ethics is the well-being of society from the perspective of practical reason derived from life's experiences. But in the end, that goal does not promise one who practices it any elevation above the boundaries of nature. Hence, this goal is still subject to criticism. For who can prove to an individual the extent of his benefit in such a conclusive manner that he will be compelled to even slightly diminish his own self for the sake of the well-being of society?
Bet.
Two, the religious goal, however, guarantees the well-being of the individual who follows it, as we have already shown that when one comes to love of others, he is in direct adhesion, which is equivalence of form with the Maker, and along with it, man passes from his narrow world, filled with pain and impediments, to an eternal and broad world of bestowal upon the Creator and upon people. You will also find a significant difference regarding the support. Because, one, engaging in ethics is supported by people's favor, which is like a rent that finally pays off. And when one becomes accustomed to this work, he will not be able to ascend on the degrees of ethics, for he will now be used to such work that is well rewarded by society, which pays for his good deeds. Yet by observing Torah and Mitzvot, in order to bring contentment to his Maker, without any reward, he climbs the rungs of ethics precisely to the extent of his engagement, since there is no payment on his path, and each penny is added to a great amount. Finally, he acquires a second nature, which is bestow upon others without any self-reception, except for one's bare sustenance. Now, he has really been liberated from the incarcerations of creation. For when one detests any self-reception, and his soul loathes the petite physical pleasures and respect, etc., he finds himself roaming free in the Creator's world, and he is guaranteed that no damage or misfortune will ever come upon him, since all the damages come to a man only through the self-reception imprinted in him. Thus, we have thoroughly shown that the purpose of religion is only for the individual who engages in it, and not at all for the use or benefit of common people. Although all his actions revolve around the benefit of people and are measured by these acts, yet this is but a passage to the sublime goal, which is equivalence with the Maker. Now we can understand that the purpose of religion is collected while living in this world, and examine closely in Matan Torah regarding the purpose of the general public and of the individual. But regarding the reward in the next world, this is a different matter, which I will explain in a separate essay.
Ken.
Yep.
No, Zeo Lokata.
Well, that he didn't write, but we can understand it from all kinds of parts of his other articles. Well, let's start. Moscow 1.
По последнему пункту такое впечатление, что человек каждый раз проходит по состоянию.
About the last item, the feeling is that a person constantly goes through states of choice in the Torah. And if a person finds himself as not fitting the goal, what does it mean to taste?
You're right, that's how we advance. Just every time new records awaken in us, new deficiencies, and we need upon them to scrutinize again and decide again and advance again. That's how it works. You're right. Each and every day, we have new scrutinies.
Kiev 1.
Kiev 1.
Да, вопрос по прочитанному. Мы обычно учим и даже в начале.
Question about what we read. We typically learn, also talked about it in the beginning of the lesson, that every recognition of a flaw causes one suffering, and the person wants to either escape it or correct it. But here, Baal Salam writes that the recognition of evil with the help of the Torah awakens pleasure and gladness.
Yeah.
Why specifically pleasure and gladness?
It's because he corrects his ego, and by that he reveals the Creator coming closer to him. From that he gets gladness.
To clarify further, there's such a structure where Baal Salam writes that the recognition of evil with the help of the Torah brings about pleasure and joy. And then he continues this thought that in the feeling of pleasure and thought while working for the Creator, with the goal of bestowing to him contentment, what is the complexity here?
That's continuing a person's intention that he doesn't want anything of the state he attains and feels pleasures and horizons that he sees. He doesn't want to take anything of that for himself, but only for the benefit of the Creator. We'll reach it, and then we'll be able to learn about it, how it happens and what to do with it. But it has to be in order to bestow. That is what he's emphasizing here.
Я должен ощутить наслаждение Творца, когда я открыл себе изъян.
Do I need to feel the pleasure from the Creator when I reveal the flaw or after correcting the flaw?
both. Also revelation of the flaws also happens by the upper light shining on those flaws. That's why you have to be happy that the Creator is helping you and showing you your flaws, that also by this you're already working together.
Latin 1.
Latin 1.
Shalom Rab, shalom amigos. ¿Cómo nos cuidamos Hello. De no caer en este método de la ética?
How
de no hacer solo acciones para caer en gracia.
Can we beware of falling into ethics and doing actions to look nice in the eyes of others and receive a reward? Not to be people of pretty actions.
Don't worry, that won't happen. The Creator is taking care of that, and we are advancing correctly. That won't happen to us. We are learning only the writings of Bala Sulam and Rabash, and that is taking care of us, that we won't deviate from the path and start bowing down before idols or work in some kind of philosophy or mysticism or psychology. No, that won't happen. We are only advancing towards a connection between us, towards the Creator, through a straight line path that is completely clear.
PT9. Can you explain the third paragraph from the end? Now he has been explained.
This, we see that the purpose of relation is only for the person working in it, and not for serving the creations. Although all his deeds are for the creation, that is only to be a conduit for the purpose of equivalence of form with his maker.
It's not clear. It sounds egoistic that in the end, on the one hand, they tell us love your friend as yourself is the only way, but here he says, the purpose of religion, of Kabbalah, is not to serve the people and help them. It's only a means.
Yeah.
It's not clear. I remember that you said that it seems to us, seems to me, that the 10 is only a means, and at some one point I'll get to the Creator and I can throw away the friends.
Who told you that?
I remember that you said that sometimes a person feels like he needs the friends, the 10, there's something temporary to reach the Creator. And here it says that it's using it as a conduit, as a means to reach the goal.
Because the goal isn't that I'm throwing the means away. It's that what is the goal? That I'm not exchanging the goal. The goal is to reach a state that I am serving the Creator in an unconditional way that doesn't depend on me at all. It's all above me.
But from the perspective of the feeling, we say that you don't have a feeling of the Creator, and that's why you have to work towards the friends.
I don't understand you. Of course, we need to work one towards the other in order through that, because the Creator is hidden behind everyone. So after that, we discover that it's all actual work with the Creator, and we reach adhesion with Him. And in the adhesion with Him, we attain the final goal.
Tel Aviv 3.
Tel Aviv 3.
How is this expressed to run a society that exists for the sake of the Creator? What's the expression of it?
That each and every one makes sure the friends are adhered between them as much as possible until the Creator is revealed between them and all the Neran Chai. To bring
the Creator into an action in society that he will manage, he will do. Only to think about it, that it's all for his own sake, it's this thought that activates him.
Well, not only work in that way, you'll work in it practically. With the screen, coarseness, direct light, reflected light, all these things, the records and so on, you work with it in a practical way. You understand how many details you have there? And this is all in order to scrutinize your relationships from the inner part of your nature, with which is the ego, into the inner part of the Creator, which is the upper light. It is bestowing the Niranchai until you connect together and discover one another and connect together. And then that final point will be called the end of correction.
Another point he emphasizes is, for the sake of the Creator means not to receive a reward.
Yeah.
What's the connection there?
In order to bestow is not getting a reward.
And that becomes for the sake of the Creator?
Yeah, because who's working? It's your ego working in front of the Creator. That's why not getting a reward for your ego means to entirely bestow to the Creator.
Thank you.
We're done with this? Good.
Niv?
So by this we finish the essence of religion and its purpose, and we'll go to the next part of the lesson.
We'll go to the next part of the lesson.
We can hear through the fire, we will find a place above the fear. A melody in every heart is waiting to be heard. We will sing with one desire, his song will fill the world.
Sobre un mar de odio voy. Luchamos por el bien, nos abrazaremos ya, la ola va a llegar. Un lejano faro está brillando sin cesar. Toda nuestra transgresión cubrimos con amor.
Есть зло, станет вдруг добром. Как заполнить пустоту вечным естеством? Как из плачения сердец вырвется мольба? Все прегрешения покрыв любовью навсегда. Shachar, me'orer et ha'shachar.